Hello, and welcome to the Game Slave Podcast, episode 60. I'm Proteus.
I'm Assimilator.
And I'm Zelda Queen.
And as usual, we're bringing you some various geeky things, but mostly probably World of Warcraft again, because that's about all I've played.
I've actually played something different in the past 3 days.
Me too!
Oh, I guess I did play one. I did spend one night playing Super Mario RPG on my virtual console for the Wii. Yay! That's a good old game that I never finished. Because I never bought it, I just had rented it a couple times.
But I get a chance to finish it. I finished it many, many, many years ago on the Super Nintendo. My brother and I bought it from a pod shop.
Yeah. I forgot how funny that game was. There's some real good humor in it.
Did you ever play it?
No, I actually did not play Super Mario RPG.
You should buy it.
On a virtual console, I can't remember, it was like $5 or
something. $5 to $8. I think $8 for most Super NES games, $5 for most NES, and $10 for...
64.
Yeah, our NES had gotten... My brother had loaned it out since it was actually his. Believe it or not, my brother actually bought a console one time. And then he loaned it to a friend and never got it back.
Ours is hiding in the basement somewhere. I will stress somewhere.
Anywho. So, do we want to talk about games we've played, or do we want to go straight into news first?
Let's do news first.
Okay. As some of you may have heard, people have started, a few groups have already jailbroken the new Windows 7 phone. It's been out for maybe 2 months now? Yeah, I think it came out in December. So, instead of trying to do lawsuits against the people that actually broke this, Microsoft sent them t-shirts. Says, I was the first to jailbreak Windows Phone 7, and all I got was this lousy t-shirt.
And a free phone. They also got a free phone.
Oh, and a free phone from Microsoft.
That's pretty... it's just kind of funny.
Well, basically what Microsoft is doing, instead of trying to make it so what these people are doing aren't working, is they're embracing them into their culture and trying to make what they want to do on their phones work in it under normal operating procedures. So instead of saying, no, you can't do this, they're saying, well, let's see how we can get it to do what you want it to do.
It's probably a better way to handle things. There's... no matter how, good and creative your employees are, there are going to be people out there that will think of things that your company, the people within your company, have never thought of trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them will even come up with a way to try and do it. I mean, they're basically getting, R&D stuff done for them without actually having to pay anything. I mean, they're giving out some phones here, I guess, but they don't have to do that.
And it's like, the first group was a Chevron WP7 team. And it's under a non-disclosure agreement with Microsoft, but the next Windows 7 update is going to break their hack, but they're excited with what they're actually working on with Microsoft. So they're basically saying, well, they're breaking what we did, but they're working with us, so we're actually excited about the opportunities we've been given here. So we could actually potentially see Windows 7 being a bit better than at least the Apple OS in that way, and you don't have to break it in order to get it to do everything you want.
It's a really interesting thing, because it's like... a consumer-business relationship in an odd way, like a way you never would think. The consumer actually has more of a say in what's going on, and the business is actually listening to and implementing it in ways that is, I guess, a traditional fashion.
Yeah, it's what we should be seeing more in today's age, where people can basically change stuff. Like, I know a while back I heard a story where I think it was Digital Manga Publishing was actually going to work with the... people that are translating the mangas from Japan and just posting them online, to actually pay them to do that, and then post this manga for sale on their website. So they're not having to pay near as much to get it translated. They're getting it translated in more languages, and it's being done cheaper, and they're getting more content out there faster.
I don't know what else to say right now. I was like,
I think it's interesting.
I do think it's interesting. As long as you're doing the proper licensing.
Well, that's the entire thing. DMP would handle would license it.
And then they would use the people who normally were just kind of, hey, you in Japan, who's my friend, can you scan these for me so I can translate them here in America, sort of thing?
Yeah, basically they're taking people that would have done it for free anyways, offering them some money, and then selling it.
And it keeps everybody happy.
We get the manga that normally wouldn't be licensed here. They get money, and everything's legal. Anywho, moving on, last podcast, I talked a little bit about the NGP. So now we're going to talk about just a little bit more, since it's more than just me babbling now.
Well, they have specs now for it. I didn't even know it was coming out until somebody mentioned it to me. You, Proteus, mentioned it. And I'm like, oh.
It's been kind of being buzzed about a little bit for the last couple of weeks. There was someone in Hong Kong that, you know, had claimed to have a leaked one or something and, like, basically stolen a partially assembled one from the factory. And
well, there's this, and then there's the Xperia, which have both been highly talked about. The Xperia, we're not honestly going to see a lot about it probably until the Mobile World Conference here in a few weeks. The PlayStation phone.
Right.
PlayStation's coming out with a phone?
They've got to, you know, compete with the iPhone. People are, you know, buying, you know, getting iPhones and Droids and stuff and playing games on them. They're becoming a new...
Yeah, platform.
Somewhat viable, you know, gaming platform.
Well, it could be like my dad who keeps stealing Irish Pride's
iTouch.
iTouch, so he can just play like little train game or the one where you knock people off of buildings to see how many broken bones and stuff they get. It's basically a ragdoll simulation. I can't keep up no more. No more. I'm done.
I think you've said that before.
Yeah, I'm really done now.
But so, since we don't really know too much about the Xperia, besides the fact that it's a Sony Ericsson phone, so most likely it's going to be on AT&T, because usually all Ericssons I've seen on are on AT&T. It's kind of in the PSP Go shape, where it's a slide down, it's got, you know, your regular arrow keys, triangle, circle, X, square, and then it's got two, looks like touch-sensitive areas, which are supposed to simulate the joysticks.
Yes, it looks like dual joysticks, too. That has to be hard if you have to use that and a button.
Well, it's like a regular controller.
It's like a PlayStation controller. And just
yeah,
exchange
I don't
those
know.
With
sometimes
a little...
I've always hated the dual joystick thing.
But how many first FPSs do you play?
Like, next to none, because...
Exactly. This setup is...
I hate console FPSs.
I know you guys hate console FPSs, but that doesn't matter in this case. For them to work properly, you almost have to have the dual joystick thing.
Yeah.
One to strafe, and one to strafe...
Basically one for head pointing, one for walking direction.
So, this, I think, will help, and that's a lot what they did with the NGP, is it has two physical buttons, and it's more in the shape of the original PSP. It has 3G connectivity, it has Wi-Fi, built-in GPS, two touch screens, one on the front, one on the back, and two cameras, one on the front, one on the back.
What on earth do you use a touchscreen on the back of a thing for?
Basically, the way they were demoing it was to control some stuff in the game without your finger actually covering it up.
So I'm not going to be able to see what my fingers are doing.
But you're going to see a reaction on the screen from where it is. Like, I think the one that they were demoing in Tokyo... when they were doing it, was there was a bump in the terrain that basically came up, and he used that in order to move his character around, which was rolled up into a ball.
Next generation portable.
Yeah, that's what they're calling it.
Well, that's what it's codenamed right now.
Yeah.
Built-in stereo speakers and a built-in microphone.
It has an Axis motion sensing system. Okay, this is the only thing I kind of find weird when you start getting into, like, motion in, like, handheld things. So you're sitting on the bus or something, or sitting somewhere in public, and you're like going, like moving it all over the place, or like the DS, where you have to blow through the microphone or talk to it, and sometimes people give you weird looks.
Hey!
Yeah, and that's going to happen here, so I bet you this happens here since it's got the built-in microphone. Could you imagine some guy imports a dating sim from Japan and plays that on the bus? Anywho, so it's got a 5-inch screen, so the screen's an inch larger than the original PSP. And it's supposed to have about the same battery life.
Which is not very long, is it?
Probably depends on what you're running, really. I don't remember what the original battery life is, but let's see if we can find out real quick.
I can't remember. I always thought it was a little bit...
I thought it was rated at 7 hours or something like that. When I was reading some stuff about it.
3 to 5 hours.
Oh, that's pretty, not much.
That was with the UMD running, though. That's why they kind of got rid of it with the PSP Go.
Because I'm trying to think how much my DS Lite gets. 10, probably, it seems like. I don't have to charge it very often.
It depends on what games you're playing. Like, if you're doing stuff that's more touchscreen-oriented, the battery drains a lot faster than if you're just using the, you know, control pad and the buttons. I don't know what to think. I never got into the PSP because at first, for the launch, there was really no many games I really wanted for it, and it was a little bit, I didn't want to pay the price for it at the time either. The only thing that kind of got me more interested is when they redid Final Fantasy Tactics, but I couldn't see buying a whole entire system for just the one game.
Well, really, there wasn't even a whole lot for it until probably the PSP 3000. I think that's when people stopped using it as an emulator for NES games.
Isn't that funny? We get all these new things, but we still go back to the old school stuff. It's like, can I get this to play on this new device now?
The test of any new hardware is to see, can you get Super Mario Brothers playing on it?
Regardless of which company it comes from.
Yep. I don't know. I mean, I have my prejudice, which is that I have very little care for any of Sony's systems. I've never owned a Sony system, and never really felt a reason to. You know, I wasn't into Final Fantasy ever, so there's never that reason. Or, like, Metal Gear, or...
But some of the... Well, this is thing, some of the stuff had its birth on the NES, and it just kind of moved over to Sony later. I mean, the only thing I've ever had was a PlayStation and a PlayStation 2. And there were some really solid RPGs for both of them, and that's mostly what my brother and I played, though he got a lot more of the action-oriented games like Tom Clancy, Metal Gear, and some of that sort of stuff. And I thoroughly enjoyed at least my PlayStation and PS2, but I just don't know about the PS3. I haven't really tried anything on it. It kind of came out at a time where I was in New Zealand. I didn't want to spend $1,000 New Zealand dollars on a piece of hardware I couldn't find and then couldn't use at home.
And supposedly this thing's supposed to be as powerful as the PS3. So then that comes down to, how much are we going to pay for this damned thing? I've seen estimates from $300 to $350, and GameStop's currently doing pre-orders at $1,000.
Shoot!
I don't see it being $1,000, but still, it's a kind of expensive for a handheld system.
And they're already doing pre-orders at GameStop for a system that doesn't even have a release date or anything?
Correct. That's not the new for GameStop anymore. They seem to do that a lot.
This thing's rumored. I should just say, I'm rumoring to release a system like the Phantom system or something.
Oh, that, I remember that.
I'll just do a bunch of pre-orders and never release a system. Or at least when it doesn't work very well. I mean, you know, that's what it seems like. It's like...
The Phantom's basically what OnLive is. Now that I think about it.
Oh, I forgot there was a piece of news this week. Hell froze over. Duke Nukem Forever has a release date.
Yes!
Isn't it like May...
May 3rd.
3rd or something? I saw that. It's like, oh, it's so funny. It's probably going to, like, terribly disappoint everybody.
Oh, yeah.
It looks nice. Have you guys watched the,
No, I never was a bunch of... I never nearly knew what Duke Nukem was until, you know, people kept talking about Duke Nukem Forever never coming out. And then I was like, okay, and I kind of looked at it, and it would never be a game I would play.
Have you ever heard the line, I'm going to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and I'm all out of bubblegum?
No.
Oh.
I'm guessing it's a quote from Duke Nukem.
Oh, I did find one clever little, like, one-level Flash game. Wolfenstein 1D. Basically, it's, you know...
A line.
A line with, you know, a pixel representing you and pixels representing, like, enemies and doors and things. And you just kind of move along. You can't dodge. You just have to go, and then and shoot and try and run through the level. Pretty much.
And they're accepting orders to get it on your, what?
Yeah, you have a choice of a 3.5-inch floppy or a 5.25-inch floppy. It was quite amusing.
Okay. Interesting.
I guess moving on from news right now, I think all of us have been playing WoW.
Yep.
I finally did my archaeology, the blah blah, if I could talk here, before they do the changes in the next patch.
What changes are they making to archaeology?
You'll no longer be able to skill up to 100 from just, you know, out in the field.
Ah!
It'll only go up to 50, and then after that you have to start assembling. Though I hate it because I finally did it. I got it up to 100. Which actually didn't take too long, surprisingly. But the thing that made me sad is I had all these pieces. I got nothing special. Oh, everything was common.
I did not get a single special. My priest hasn't gotten special shit since until he get like almost 270. I take it Proteus here got
special. I got the
special.
Fossil pet.
On the second time!
Third, my third thing.
Yeah, your second or third thing you make and there's the fossil.
You're incredibly lucky.
Yeah. I won't get anything else, you know, forever, so. I mean, everything else I've done has been, you know, common or whatever, you know, gray quality items. So this is like
vendor junk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Five silver!
I've been holding on to this stuff because supposedly they are going to be increasing some of the price what you get for selling common items are going to be a little bit better.
I have gotten reasonably lucky at getting the special things to let you assemble stuff even if you don't have as many pieces as you're supposed to have.
Mm-hmm.
I've got like probably 5 of each of the Night Elf, Dwarf, and Troll thingies.
I got 3 to 5 of them too.
Yeah, but you can only use them. You can only use one per thing.
Yeah.
But that's what I did. I'm trying to do the Elders thing. Honoring One's Elders is currently on if you haven't been doing it.
The Lunar Festival.
Yeah.
My priest already has all that one, so I don't have to worry about that one. I have to start paying attention again.
A lot of the Elders around.
Makes sense.
And now, so now you can't just like go to WoWhead and be like, where's all the Elders?
Well, you can still do it. You just have to read down further into the comments, because some people are like, oh, this Elder's moved, you know, to this part. Most of them, it hasn't been great amounts. They're still in the local spot. They just kind of move slightly a little bit east or slightly a bit south. Yeah. Or, you know,
fortunately, a lot of, like, what, Stormwind's Elder got moved outside of the city, so it's a lot easier to get to.
The hardest one is Ironforge. I guess not. Darnassus gave me more problems just because I flew in. And
couldn't you fly into Ironforge?
Yes, it works better if you're max level and if you have the fastest flying mount. Because if you can fly fast enough, the guards can't keep up with you. So you basically fly in, fly down into the trench, which it kind of de-zones a few of the guards because they don't go down there. You fly along until you get to the end, fly up, and then he's standing at the pool just a little to the left.
Over by the, like, priest and rogue area?
Yeah, it's the Mystic Ward area. You talk to him. Stormwind Wind, yes, is outside now since the park got destroyed. And Darnassus, you can actually fly around and fly into it. But again, it's best if you have a faster mount because then you can fly in, talk to the guy, and fly out before the guards can usually dismount you.
So when you're in Ironforge, do you talk about having to hit a two-meter-wide target?
No.
They came from behind.
So I tried doing it level 70, and yeah, I broke all my equipment because I forgot to de-equip when I was first doing it, and at that point I didn't care anymore. But I did get it. In fact, I got Elders of the Alliance before Elders of the Horde.
Got the hard one out of the way, huh?
Well, I was kind of going around, zigzagging back and forth across the continent, and it just happened that I had done Darnassus first on, because I was in Kalimdor, then I switched over to Eastern Kingdoms, and as you start from the bottom and work your way up, you hit Ironforge and Stormwind before you get to, you know, Undercity.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm trying to work on Northrend. It's taking me a little bit longer because I haven't explored all Northrend yet. At least I'm 73, almost 74.
Yeah, I mean, I've just, you know, gained about 2 levels just doing archaeology digs.
Nice.
And so that means I'm level 76 and just finishing Dragonblight. So yep. I don't have very much more that I need to do to Northrend to get myself to 80 at this point.
You have,
point.
Like, 2 more levels, and you could probably go to the new stuff.
I don't think you can get to the new stuff until you're level... Well, you can't get quests, really, until you're level 80 in the new zones. Irish Pride was mentioning this, because he'd... Wait, I can't remember which character he was having.
His warrior. He's really sick of Northrend with his warrior, so he's trying to get him to go to the new zones, and he can't pick up any quests yet.
Gotcha.
Which makes me kind of sad, because I was like, oh, maybe at 78 I can ditch Northrend, but apparently not. I'll have to just keep questing. I'm almost 74, and I haven't even left the Boreal Tundra yet.
Yeah, my Warlock's 65 right now, so I'm catching up with you two.
I haven't been playing as heavily, because I've been doing less more Refit Plus still. Go weight loss challenge at work. My team was in 3rd at one point. Then we slipped down to 4th this past week. We still can't compete with that Phoenix team. They lost 12% this past week. The first week was 11, and another 11, and then this past week was 12.
Wow.
Maybe it's because they can all go hiking still this time of year.
Yeah, it's very hard in Colorado to go outside.
No, actually, right now it's very easy to go outside. Well, it's just not easy to get to the mountains. Because, okay, people, here's something interesting about Colorado. We hit record highs yesterday at 66 or something.
Yeah.
And if you go to the mountains, they're having record snows, and they're getting, like, new snowfall almost every single day. So there's that's a 2-hour drive, tops, to go from record highs to record snow.
See, because the mountains are kind of like this barrier, which I don't think people understand. It's a barrier, and the clouds go so high.
It's the same as, you know, the rain shadow effect, which people who live on islands will be quite familiar with.
West Coast, Southern Island, New Zealand.
Northeast coast of Hawaii? Hilo, wet. Kona, try.
But yeah, we had a, our supervisor was saying, like, yeah, in a week, in about an 8-day period, he skied, no, it was a 7-day period, he skied 5 days, and 4 of those days, there was fresh snow on the ground.
So hooray for the, you know, ski industry, they're probably going to be open to June at this point, and hooray for the snow melt-off.
Oh, there's going to be so much flooding this spring.
The Platte is going to be full. They're going to have to post a sign, please do not swim in the Platte.
I really hope they don't send me up to Grand County for work, because it's going to be really mud season this year.
Now we've deviated from geeky things.
Yeah, moving on. So one of the games I was playing this week, I started playing Dead Space 2, which just came out on Tuesday. Now, one thing I want to preface by saying is there's not a damned thing different as far as gameplay goes from Dead Space 1 to Dead Space 2. This is not a bad thing. It's still third person. You're still fighting necromorphs, as you probably should in this game. And your primary thing that you want to do is de-limb instead of shoot the body.
I've only seen part of Dead Space, and it kind of freaked me out. One of my former co-workers talked about playing it, and he's like, it's very, like, immersive. Because he's like, you don't have no, you know, HUD or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And mostly you can just tell your power level by your, you know, your suit on the back. So he goes, it's really fun. And he goes, and sometimes, you know, things just kind of scare you, or you just kind of get freaked out because you see a flicker in the light, so you hear a weird sound, but you don't necessarily get anything popping out at you.
Well, it's like, the way you, when you start the game, I don't feel bad talking about the start of the game, because it's the start of the game. It's like the first 30 minutes. You start out, you're in a psych ward from the effects of the first Dead Space game. Gee, for some reason, being trapped on a ship with a bunch of things trying to kill you, with a bunch of dead things trying to kill you, could possibly send you insane. Imagine! So, you're in a psych ward, you're in a straitjacket when some guy comes to rescue you, and he immediately gets killed by a necromorph. So now you're tied up in a straitjacket, there are these things running over the place, and you have one option. Run like hell. It starts to see your little, what they call the rig, is basically what shows your health, and everybody can see your rig. So it's not like just something they put in just for the player, it's actually how society tells whether or not you need help or not, health-wise. So you get attacked a few times, I actually got hit a few times by necromorphs, and my rig's like at its bottom little area, and I run into a guy who's in a cut open straitjacket that has a knife. Well, that's insane. I think he's about to kill me. Finally, he just stabs me, but instead of killing me, he just cuts open my straitjacket. And he's like, your rig is red. There's health over there. Go on, go get it. And you're being cautious all hell, because this guy's insane. But you know, you get the thing, you heal yourself up, and the rig goes from yellow to red. Well, you still don't have any weapons at this point.
At least your arms are free.
Yes, at least your arms are free now. So then you move in, and you get, there's a guy yelling for help who's on an operating table. So you go to try and get him out. Well, while you're trying to get him out, a necromorph comes in. So you're trying to pull off the plasma cutter that was he was being operated on. While you're doing this, he gets killed, so you don't manage to save him. But then you get your weapons, so you can actually defend yourself at this point. So then you move in, and through processes of taking stuff from the hospital, you get your telekinesis module so you can pick up stuff and shoot them at the necromorphs, and you get your cryo module so you can temporarily stop them. Well, after you get this stuff, you run forward into an area, and you're kind of like in a reception area for the hotel, and I'm walking around, and all of a sudden... reception area for the psych ward, the hospital, basically, that you're in. And I hear this popping noise, so I turn around, and there's just balloons there. It's like, I'm getting rid of those balloons, because they're going to freak me out if they keep popping. But it's like little tricks like that, where there was nothing there to attack me, but it still freaked me out. But overall, so far, it's a great game. Yeah, no HUD, it's very immersive. They kept with the same thing, where everything kind of is a holographic projection from Isaac. And you still see him unless you're in the little store thing.
The only other game I've been playing is Rune Factory Frontier for the Wii. I got it for Christmas and I hadn't fired it up yet, so I decided to fire it up. And I'm at least further along than the first time I played, because I basically resaved over my first game. I'm kind of glad I did, because things have been happening better the second time around than they did the first time. It was kind of funny. One of the guys that moves into the clock, basically additional people get added when certain things happen or after you pass a certain time and such. And one of it is this old inventor guy moves into the clock tower.
My chronic illness.
And what it is at some point in time in the game when you talk to him, he mentions, you know, his chronic illness and that his his granddaughters are going to come and move to take care of him or live with him for a while. Well, I had played until over halfway through spring, and I could never get him to talk to me because I either was hitting it at the wrong time or stuff, because I try not to read too much online. I tried to figure out some schedules, but sometimes I'm just like, okay, tell me where things are. And this time, it was the first time he moved in, I went and talked to him, he complains about his chronic illness, and then later that day his granddaughters show up. And I'm like, okay, this is like day number 7, and I couldn't get him to come at all, and this time they come like...
right away.
The first time I talked to the guy.
Awesome.
But I'm having fun. The other thing about this Room Factory that I think is a little bit different from the Wii, at least the DS version, I hate the fact that I don't get no runes in my crops outside of the dungeons, because then it takes so much more energy to harvest my outside crops. Because when you're inside the dungeon, it gets runes. Because basically you have a bar that's your, like, action bar. And you can only do so many actions before it depletes it and starts into your health. And runes basically fill up your action bar slightly. And well, they only you can only get them in dungeons. And the way you get them is having a full 3x3 crop square planted at full maturity.
Okay.
So that's been a little bit annoying. And I think the dungeons are a little bit harder this time, too. They're a lot bigger, and the enemy's a little bit nastier, so it takes a little bit longer to level. And you're not, so I'm not progressing as quickly as I feel I should be, but I'm like, no, we'll just relax, take our time. I kind of just like farming. Sometimes I wish it would just be like Harvest Moon with more robust farming.
Rather than social interaction.
Well, I don't mind the social interaction, but I wish the farm, I wish they would focus more again, like just a Harvest Moon that would focus more about the farming and make some of the stuff, like the stuff that made the PlayStation version really good, kind of integrated with a little bit more of the social interaction that some of the newer ones have, because before, there was no social interaction.
Yeah, I don't know. I was getting really bored with the one for 64. It was just like, 64, you have to be friends with everyone!
64 was too much about friends. Same with the PlayStation 2 one. If you have to go out and buy a Harvest Moon, you don't know what to get, you can try the first one for the Virtual Console for the Wii. It's only like 800 Wii points, or aka $8. And it's fun. It's the first one, but it suffers from poor translation. And
which they apparently have never gone back and fixed.
No, they've never fixed. It's basically just a direct port.
It's a boy! Name her!
You know, if they had fixed that, though, you know how many people would complain, because it's not like the original.
And
what are the other weird ones? Weird translations?
It's raining flowers. If you leave a chicken out in a hurricane, you just get a pile of feathers that will never go away.
Working as intended.
And such. But yeah, I've been having fun. And I kind of like using... it doesn't have like the motion sensor, except that you can like kind of waggle and you will like use whatever item you have in your hand, but it's kind of annoying. So I just like using the buttons. But I like the shortcuts that it has for getting to your tools and harvesting. You just hit a button to pick, and you hit the button again, and it puts it in your bag automatically. Hooray!
Cool.
So I've been having fun. So I've been kind of doing other stuff. Maybe I should finish a game.
Probably not an entirely poor idea.
I have a really bad habit of not finishing games. I kind of got stuck in Zelda Spirit Tracks. I'm like at the very end. I'm trying to get to the boss. And I'm in part of the dungeon that I cannot think it through, so I've given it like a 2-month break at this point. I should really go back and finish it.
Did you ever finish Twilight Princess?
Yes.
Okay.
And I finished Wind Waker. I got to way, way back when it came out. I got to Ganondorf's Tower like real fast. And I was like, you gotta be joking me. I'm already at the end of the game? This is stupid. And so I stopped playing. I never finished it because I was very disappointed that as far as just the main gameplay goes, it's very short.
Mm-hmm.
If you just focus on going to the dungeons and getting that sort of stuff done. Like, exploring and stuff takes up a lot more time. But just going through the motions of the game, I was so sad I stopped playing. I finally had to go back when we were in New Zealand to finish it. And this is like 6-7 years after the game originally came out.
It was an incredibly short game.
I liked it. I'm kind of glad that, you know, Phantom Hourglass and Spirit Tracks has that same similar style. I wish they could have done something like that again on the Wii, because the animation works so well with the game style.
it seems like Nintendo is just probably going to go with Serious Link on, you know, real regular consoles and Cartoony Link on the portables.
Yeah, I really should look to see if there's more information on Skyward Sword.
I'm really should see more this summer when we go to E3.
I'm just hoping it comes out this year.
That's all we have this week. So visit us at thegameslave.com, where you have a link to our store, to our forums. Feel free to comment on our stuff. Follow us at thegameslave on Twitter. And feel free to shoot us emails at mail@thegameslave.com.
And also look us up on Facebook. Friend us on Facebook.
All right. Well, y'all have a good week, and game on.
Game on.
Game on.